You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 12th of October. Is the rotation set? Where are their weaknesses? How will it all play out? Are the Jazz really playing at a faster pace of play? And do preseason stats tell us anything about this Utah Jazz crew? It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. It is available on Android. It is available on iTunes. You can tell Alexa to play the program Locked On Jazz. You can tell Google to do the same thing. Listen on Spotify as well. And today's a huge day for the Locked On Podcast Network and Locked On Jazz. We have moved over to our new partner with some of our shows, namely this one and a bunch of others. We have moved over to Panoply, the home of Malcolm Gladwell and Slate and the great show Slate, Hang Up and Listen, Political Gab Fest, another Slate show, Cultural Gab Fest, all sorts of great shows over on the Panoply. And so we're using the Megaphone platform, and hopefully it runs smoothly today. But today's the big move. So if there's anything different, if you've subscribed at Audio Boom, then you're not going to get it anymore. So that's subscribe on your Android. I use Pocket Casts, whatever it is that you might want to use. I've used Dogcatcher for a long time. There's a bunch of great ones out there. So big day for the Locked On Podcast Network. Really, we've got exciting stuff going on with the emergence of our partnership with the Fan Rag for the LockedOnJazz.net on all of our shows. Now going to have a website, and then the move over to Panoply. So very exciting times. Thank you very much for your support, what all of you've done to allow really Locked On Jazz to be at the forefront of this and move on. Today's show brought to you by our good friend Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate. And right now is the time to buy or sell a home. Devin is the guy you want to be involved with. We'll tell you more about Devin. He's got a great deal for you. And Murdoch Chevy over in Woods Cross jumping aboard the program. Little Murdoch love there. I'll tell you what's going on with the good folks over at Murdoch Chevy. Gotten to know the Murdoch family well. Spent some time up there. Got to see what fun stuff's going on there and learn about the Chevy brand a little bit as well. So we'll have that for you as well. All right, let's get right to it. Final Western Conference preview, hopefully up on Locked On NBA as well here shortly. All right, so do we have a rotation? 5 preseason games, now a week of practice. The guys had yesterday off. They'll practice today. I'll be down there. Do we have a rotation for who the Utah Jazz are? And and with the Exum injury, unfortunately, I do think that we do. By the way, here, quick Exum update. The Jazz are not taking their time. They're doing their diligence. So is Dante. He's gotten a few opinions. He's having, I believe, another opinion here today or either yesterday in Los Angeles, and will have a decision of whether or not he – first thing is whether or not he needs surgery, and then second decision is whether or not surgery actually ends the season or not. So those are the decisions that have to be made. It's not entire – you know, nothing's totally clear-cut. A lot of pressure is going both ways on Dante, so we'll see. But, you know, obviously he's going to be out for quite some time, and then the question is whether or not we'll actually see him again this year, which we'd have to hope could possibly be the case. So let's roll through the rotation knowing Dante's out. I think that you're seeing the point guard position is pretty well set between Ricky Rubio, and I do believe that it's going to be Howell Neto. When you get into what Quinn Snyder has said about that being a burden and not wanting to lose what Donovan Mitchell does so well, and then seeing Donovan play the other day not with that burden, I think you're going to see Howell Neto earn those minutes. And I think Rubio, frankly, is going to play a lot. I would suspect that he is on the floor for 32 to 35 minutes a night, which is, in this day and age, you don't usually like to play players more than about those right in that kind of spot of 32 minutes. But Rubio has played 33 minutes last year for Minnesota, 31 the year before, 32 the two prior, 34 his rookie year. I think he's going to be up there. I think he's going to play a lot of minutes for this team. I suspect that Neto, and remember, Neto started 53 games. I suspect that Neto plays the remaining, you know, if I'm putting him in for 34, there's 14 minutes there. I suspect Neto plays those. But they also could use just, and you'll see what I'm gonna, where this how this happens here in a minute. I suspect that they could use Neto a little less, maybe, and link 4 to 6 minutes a night of multiple point guard sets. And I'll show you where that kicks in a second. Even when Neto started, he only played 18 games. Remember, his rookie year, he starts 53 games, which is one of the highest amounts by a rookie. He shoots 39.5% from three, so he was really solid. And if he can do that again, then that'll be good shape. Now, and obviously a lot of things could change. I don't think there's anyone in the market the Jazz are going to go get in that spot. So then we get to Rodney Hood is your starting two guard. And he's going to be backed up by Donovan Mitchell. And this is where the minutes start to get really interesting. Because Rodney played about 27 minutes a night last year fighting the injury. He played 32 before. I would suspect that he plays about 30 minutes a night if he's healthy and he can and maintain that. Maybe they'll reduce his minutes down a little bit to try to get him healthy. He had a very good preseason, but he only played in 3 of the 5 games. Last year, he only played in 59 games. 2 years ago, he only played in 50 games. The year in between, he played in 79. So it's not clear who he really is as a in that position. So that leaves, let's put him at 30. That leaves 18 for Donovan Mitchell. That's not enough, right? I mean, as crazy as that sounds, we're already at a point where I think it's clear that's not enough. Donovan Mitchell is going to play more than 18 minutes a night on this team. He's got that impact. He's that good a player. He's going to earn it. And frankly, we need someone who's going to put in buckets. We need some, and Spider, that's his nickname, is going to put in buckets. And it's incredible to look at this guy's rise. I didn't realize this. He only played 591 minutes his rookie year at Louisville. 19 minutes a game. And then last year he burst out for 32 minutes a game. I mean, this is a kid who just continues to. He's played his whole life, but he was a baseball player, split time, who just is emerging. And the other thing I think that's important on him is he's 21 years old. He's not some 19-year-old kid. He either spent an extra year at Brewster Academy in New Hampshire, or they held him back, or just he was a September birthday, and so they just decided not to start him young. If you look at Damian Lillard, Lillard was 22 in his rookie year. He was born in July of 1990 and started his year in 2012, having 3 years of college. Mitchell has a lot less experience, but to some extent he's 21 starting this year. So we'll see. I got high hopes. So 18 minutes is not enough. So how do we get those other minutes? And that's where this gets really interesting. And let me dig into that for you in just a moment. But I do want to welcome a new sponsor on, and it's not really a new sponsor. It's the Murdoch family, and it's the extension of the Murdoch family who have spent this incredible 91 years in Utah. There has been a Murdoch Chevy, 91 years. And the Murdoch brand is as strong as can be with their car washes for life and everything else. And Tyson runs the Murdoch Chevy up in Woods Cross. Truck line is amazing right now. Chevy's the only truck line that has all three truck segments. So you got the heavy-duty Silverado, the light-duty half-ton truck Silverado, the mid-size truck Colorado. You've got the Colorado diesel. You got the unibody frame, which is safer. It's a one-frame set. And Chevy runs deep, man. If you're a Chevy family, you want Chevy, and then you want to deal with the Murdochs because that is who the Murdoch family, the same experience I've had with Blake at Murdoch Hyundai is what you get at Murdoch Chevy. It's all tied in together. It's the 91 years of coming together and representing Utah, representing their family, and giving you those experiences. Some ridiculous deals going on right now as well at Chevy. The Silverado has got $5,000 off, 25% off on both the Cruze and the Malibu right now. So check it out. Murdoch Chevy, the Murdoch family, 91 years in Utah selling trucks. They are there for you. And say hi to Tyson for us up in Murdoch. Excuse me, up in Woods Cross. He's not in Murdoch. That's not a city. They haven't gotten that big. Up in Woods Cross. Say hi to Tyson for us. So continuing with the rotation, now you get to the small forward. And this is what gets really interesting to me. Because we've got not enough minutes for Donovan Mitchell. And we've really got three guys, if everyone's healthy, that are playing the small forward: Ingles, Cephalosha, and Burks. So let's start with Joe. He's the starter. He only played 24 minutes a night last year. He only started 26 games last year. You start pushing Joe Ingles past 24 minutes a night, I think you start to get body breakdown. He's 29 years old. He's 30 years old. He's a fabulous player. His body is not an NBA body. He's gotten better. He's, you know, we got to be careful with this because he's really worked hard to improve this. But I don't know that I think he's a 30-minute-a-night guy. I think if you look at, and I've talked about this a lot last year, when we push Joe past 30 minutes with any regularity, there usually was a drop-off. There were nights playing the Warriors. He puts up 34. He plays 34 minutes. He played 39 against Sacramento. But when you started, what ended up happening is he became more and more valuable. We played Phoenix. He played 32. Dallas, 37. Indiana, 33. Then all of a sudden, you look at his production. Doesn't shoot it. He goes 0 for 3 for 3 in the last game. Doesn't shoot one. 1 for 3. 1 for 3. Suddenly, he's 2 for his last 9 from 3. Goes 1 of 1 in the next game. 1 of 4 in the game after that. 1 of 6 in the game after that. You suddenly push him physically beyond that, and now all of a sudden, he's 5 of his last 20 from 3. He regains it. We suddenly load him back up on his minutes, and the same thing happens again with Joe Ingles. You go back, he plays 35 against LeBron, 36 against Jimmy Butler, and then he goes 1 for 3, 1 for 5, 0 for 3, 2 for his last 11 from 3 before he gets a day off or two, regains it. He works very hard. You know, I think that's what you have to keep an eye on. We did at the end of the season, Portland 33 minutes, Minnesota 34 minutes, Portland 26. He's suddenly 1 for 3. Warriors 34. He's 1 for 6. So I think that's something you have to really keep an eye on with Joe, of whether you're asking too much out of him. We did it in the Clippers series, 33, 33, 34, 37. All of a sudden he goes 0 for 4 and he goes 0 for 3. So I think he probably is as excited as he could be about his time, and as excited as we are for what he represents, I do think that you're better off playing him at 24 minutes a night. Now, what gets really interesting here is how do you integrate maybe some Donovan Mitchell minutes, maybe some Thabo Sefolosha minutes, maybe some Alec Burks minutes. Now, Thabo, great defensive player, has shown more offensive prowess than you thought. Not a superb shooter. Generally, he's been just a notch below that 50% effective field goal percentage. Great, smart player, super teammate, great plus-minus guy. All those things, 33 years old, career average 23 minutes a night. Probably at 33 years old, I'm not sure you really want to push him all the way there. So let's put Thabo in for, you know, suddenly 16 to 12. Let's put him in for 20. There's only 4 minutes left here for AB, 4 minutes left for Mitchell to slide over. This is where we're getting taxed and don't have enough time for everybody to get their time. AB's playing well. Mitchell needs to slide down to get him. Maybe Mitchell slides up and takes 4 to 6 minutes of point guard minutes. Now you have him at 24. Not sure you want to have him at much more than 24 minutes. And so Neto's minutes are down to 8. That might be the answer. And now all of a sudden you slide AB back to the shooting guard. And AB, if Donovan's going 6 minutes there, then AB suddenly has 10 minutes. You've got at the 2 with Hood, Mitchell, AB getting those in there. Cephalosha getting in about 20, maybe 60. Maybe some nights it's AB's night, some nights it's Cephalosha's night. We'll see how that works. But that's where this is kind of going to, something's got to push. And I think that's where you're going to see some non-point guard minutes by Neto to get Mitchell some more time. It's going to be tough to slide Mitchell down to the or up to the small forward position to be able to find more minutes there. It just doesn't seem as though that's particularly likely. So that kind of is a grouping there. Then who makes the team gets into a question, and this is where Royce O'Neal's value is really high. Royce O'Neal can go play the 2. He can go play the 3. If there's any type of injuries and you need to add somebody else, you have Royce O'Neal, and I think that really helps him out. And you'll see there's more excess minutes in the bigs. Okay, we're starting Favors. We're starting Gobert. We know that. That tandem has played really well together. And now we get to how much does Rudy play. I think last year is right about what you can expect out of Rudy. The Jazz played Rudy 34 minutes a night. Favors, in theory, gets those 14 backup center minutes. And this is where things get really interesting. So Favors gets the 14 backup minutes for center. Derek probably is a 30-minute a guy night, but let's say that we're going to hold Derek to 28 minutes a night just to keep him healthy. He played 23 last year. He played 32 the year before that, 31. He's never been over 30. They're probably going to pull. So let's say he's playing 14 minutes of power forward, 14 minutes of center. And that opens up 34 minutes of power forward minutes. Who gets them? That's too much for Joe Johnson. Joe Johnson, as amazing and awesome as he is 36 years old. Last year, Joe Johnson was terrific, but the Jazz brought him back down to 24 minutes a night. I guess they ask a little bit more out of him, but I still think that's probably the answer. Playoffs last year, he was ready to go. That's the goal. He played 30 minutes a night in the playoffs. There'll be nights where he needs to play more. But I think that's going to be the model. Is about 24 minutes a night. Don't wear him out. The schedule should be a little bit more forgiving. Remember, he opened the year with 30 on back-to-back games last year. He played 11 games over 30 minutes last year. He can do it if he needs to. He played 20 or games of 28 or more minutes. But let's put him in for 24 minutes. We still have 12 minutes. And this is where Udo has played so well. Ebe Udo may get those 12 minutes, and the Jazz may end up playing even more kind of dual big minutes. Udo's been very good. Or that's Jerebko, depending on the night, depending on the style of game. For those other 12 minutes, Jerebko played 16 minutes a night for Boston last year. It's a pretty good player. And that's where you've got some great depth in here. Tony Bradley, out of the rotation in all likelihood, still developing, probably playing some D-League minutes. Excuse me. So where does you have Jerebko and Udo are both able to play more? You've got some depth there if you need it. And that's where I think the rotation goes. And it's going to be interesting to see if Udo gets those minutes. And now you're probably playing some Udo Gobert and some Udo Favors, which I don't think we ever thought you were going to see on this team. Today's show brought to you by Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate. Devin's been with us from the very beginning. So thankful for his support of Locked On Jazz. He is a real estate guy who takes it with the heart of a teacher. And he has been helping numerous people in the Jazz world, Locked On Jazz world, for quite some time now. And what's so great about Devin is that he's backed up his words for all the Locked On Jazz people. Ryan and Natalie, we worked with Devin as our realtor when buying our first home. He was always extremely responsive, would text back super quickly, even outside normal business hours. He always went above and beyond when it came to walking us through the home buying process. He was an amazing resource, such a genuinely good guy. Thank you, Devin. Devin last year was given 2 Jazz free season tickets whenever he sold a house bought a house with you. It's a little different this year because some of the inventory on the Jazz is gone, but Devin still wants to do the same concept, and what that is that Devin is going to give you a percentage of his commission. 15% of his commission back in tickets, so whatever you choose to do within your budget. Also, by the way, the brokerage that Devin works for offers relocation service. So if you can, if you're going somewhere and moving, Devin's willing to help out the Locked On Jazz family that's got to leave Utah, and he'll check on things, keep things going on there, get you a good agent, work on all of that as well. So a lot of fun things with Devin Cash. If you're looking to buy or sell a home or want to check out the market value of where you are right now, Devin Cash is the answer. Call Devin at 801-759-1495. That's 801-759-1495. All right, let's review the preseason stats and see if there's anything important. Gobert finished the preseason shooting 74%. Now, we played non-NBA teams in 2 of those games and 2 barely NBA teams, and so some of these are interesting. But what jumps out to me about this on Gobert is I really suspected with the move to Rubio at the point guard and with Rubio giving Gobert the ball in different spots that his shooting percentage was going to go down considerably. Now, understand what we're talking about. Last year, second half of the season, Rudy shot 70% from the field, right? Second half of the season last year, Rudy Gobert, 17 points, 13 rebounds, 70%. He is a larger focus of the offense today than he was then. Is it possible that Rudy is going to end up with 20 points a game? Is that nuts? Anyone? I think there's a real chance. Can you imagine if Rudy suddenly becomes a 20-point, like 13-rebound guy? He only took 7 shots a game last year. In the preseason, he took similar numbers, but I think in the regular season, he took 8.5. I think he goes up a little bit. I think he ends up taking, I don't know, does he take 10 shots a night? Seems hard, but maybe not. With the focus the Jazz are putting on having him with that in kind of focus, I think it's possible. In March, he took 9 shots a game. In April, he took 10. His points per game were 17 and 16. I think that's where Rudy sits this year. Somewhere between 17, 18, 19 points a game. The focus is so much of his offense on the rim. And then he grabs his boards. Donovan Mitchell, 42% from the field, 29% from 3. It's exactly where I'd suspect him to be for the season. Rookies aren't particularly efficient. Rubio, 36% from the field, 29% from 3. Both those numbers are low. He's not going to become a great shooter. The number that's got to go down is the 21 turnovers as he tries to learn his new team. But the number on Rubio that people underestimate, 23 free throw attempts. Here's a great note. I got it actually yesterday from Alan Horton, and then also a listener sent it to me. Ricky Rubio is the designated free throw shooter for Minnesota the last 2 years and has made 51 consecutive technical free throws. Gosh, remember how often it felt like we missed technical free throws? 51 consecutive free throws. Rodney Hood played just 3 of the 5 games. Rodney Hood shot 63% from the field, 69% from 3. Like, is that real? Is Rodney Hood found a groove in the preseason? That no way is that real. You can't do that for a season, but think about those numbers. Only 4 free throw attempts and 27 shot attempts, so that has not changed. Only 5 rebounds, only 2 assists. You would hope that Rodney can add some level of depth to his game, both rebounding and assists, as he takes a larger focus. Preseason probably wasn't the time to do it, but his assist rate last year, 10%. Year before was 14%. He really started passing less. His rebounding rate, 13% on the defensive glass, overall 7%, means he's, you know, if rebounds were equally distributed, he'd get 10% on the floor. He's getting 7. He needs to be a little bit more of a rebounder. AB, 54% shooting in the preseason and 67% from 3. That's so exciting. Ball and Boy was great in the preseason, hit 4 of 6 from 3, 11 of 15. He's an NBA player. I don't know that he makes this team. It's going to be tough. Joe Johnson, cool as cat right there. Dante, 50% shooting. Neto, 50% shooting. Cephalosha did not make a 3, went 0 for 6 from 3, still shot 46%, was very active shooting. He was taking about 5 or 6 shots a game, which felt more and was more active making plays, sometimes stretching himself, than I expected him to be. But then you look at his numbers in Atlanta last year, that's exactly what he did. He took 6 shots in 26 minutes of action. In the playoffs, in here he's playing 15 minutes, taking 6 shots, so that is definitely more active. Jerebko had a disappointing preseason. He shot just 39%, 1 of 7 from 3. And Joe Ingles had a disappointing preseason, 33%, 25% from 3. I think this can be a hard year on Joe. It's a much bigger role. He only started 25 games last year. If he's the starter going up against those guys all the time, I do think this is going to be a much more difficult role on Joe than it has been. One final thing, we'll talk some more about it. I don't really believe the real GM numbers, but they have us ranked at 29th in the league in pace of play. So I it felt like we were so much faster than a year ago, and maybe not. That seems strange to me. We didn't play NBA teams, so I think this is a little misleading, but our effective field goal percentage was 56% for the preseason, which ranked 4th in the NBA, I believe, maybe 3rd. Houston, San Antonio, Utah, Golden State, Washington, Chicago, Brooklyn. I mean, it's not a great indicator, but it's interesting. Because this is the team that can't shoot, right? If let's just put it this way. If we're at 46% with Sacramento and New York and Charlotte, we'd be panicked right now. We're at 56% and we're dismissing it as probably not that likely. So we'll see. That is today's edition of Locked On Jazz. I'll be out of practice. I'll try to get something up at LockedOnJazz.net for you today as well. Thank you very much for tuning into the program. Hope the transition over to Panoply and Megaphone has been a seamless one. We're very excited for what it means for the Locked On Podcast Network. I can't thank you all for your support enough. Devin Cash, Equity Real Estate. Phone number is 801-759-1495. That's 801-759-1495. And check out what's going on over at Murdoch Chevy. Taylor and the crew over there are doing some exciting things with the great deals on the end of the month, moving out the inventory, and it's truck month at Chevy, at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross. Have a great day. This has been Locked On Jazz.